Hello and welcome to the Bulldog Block. I'm Adam.
And I'm Madison, and we're bringing Concordia Radio to you. And we are both Concordia Journalism students.
Yes, and seniors.
This is our last year. And this is our practicum class, so we are learning how to work broadcast radio programs.
We'll see how we do.
You should see how many takes we tried. So Adam, tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
All right, I am from Palmer, Alaska. It's in South Central Alaska, kind of right at the middle, and we're kind of where it meets the ocean.
So super cold or
no? It's a little more cold. we'll go with super cold with those two options. No, it's pretty moderate because you have the ocean on one side and the mountains on the other. So I'm kind of tucked in a nice little valley, so the temperatures don't get too extreme.
And you did something really cool this summer. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I did an internship with a local magazine in Wasilla, Alaska, a little neighboring town. It was called Last Frontier Magazine. And what I was doing was doing some historical research on some old mining prospects up in the mountains behind my house.
Historical research, just how you want to spend your summer vacation.
From some people, I guess.
Yeah.
And what about you, Madison? Where are you from?
I'm from Concordia, Missouri, which explains my little funky twang that I got going on.
And why are you going to Concordia in Seward?
Yes, I'm going to Concordia, yeah. Nebraska. My parents met here, and they said, go to Concordia. And I was like, no way. And then I came, and I loved it.
Okay, so little family history.
Here we are. Yeah.
Well, you did something pretty interesting this last summer for your internship, too. What was that?
Yeah, I interned at 1011 News, and I just follow people around and carry their tripod. Learned a lot. And now I work at 1011 News and I carry my own tripod.
Hey, all right.
Yeah, it's been a big graduation.
And 1011 is in Lincoln, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Local Lincoln TV.
Yeah, nice. I love Lincoln. I love it.
What do you love about it?
Obviously the Huskers, but.
But you love Seward even more, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, of
good.
Course. I'm going to miss Seward a lot. Do we have anything else to talk about?
I'm sure we do. I'm trying to think.
Yes.
Perfect. When you were a freshman, what was the expectation coming to Concordia? I guess from what your parents told you, but also what you thought your college life would be like versus what it turned out to be.
Yeah. So I went to a boarding school in high school.
Whoa.
I know. And I only lived there for like a semester, but because my dad's not there. But yeah, I kind of knew what going into like a dorm situation was going to be like. I was really nervous right before I came to school. Like the night before, I was like, please don't make me go. What if I don't make any friends? And my mom said, Madison, get over yourself. Yeah. I mean, coming in, I didn't know what I wanted to do. Everyone around me has been a teacher. You know, my parents, my grandparents, everyone's been a teacher. So I didn't have a lot of knowledge, really, of what else was out there. I mean, obviously, I knew there was a world of opportunities, but I'd never seen that in action. So journalism has been a really fun adventure for me.
That's great.
What about you? You came a long way.
I did come a long way.
Journey to get here.
Total travel time from my house to my dorm, my house in Palmer, Alaska, to my dorm in Seward, Nebraska, is about 12 hours total travel time.
That's it?
Yeah. There's a couple 3.5 hour flights, about an hour and a half from my house to the airport. Then I wait a little while and I fly, got a layover. Oh, you're being sarcastic.
No, that doesn't.
Okay.
It seems like it would be a lot more. I guess I was thinking drive time. Have you ever driven it?
No, I haven't. My brothers did this last summer, and it took them.
It's got to be over 24.
It was a few days.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you
book
it. So were you nervous to leave home? I know you had brothers here when you came.
Yeah. I was nervous. Yeah, absolutely. I was less nervous because I had family here already. I had two brothers here, one in his fifth year and one in his third year. And that made it a lot easier to transition. I visited Concordia Ann Arbor and thought about going there, but I didn't have any family there, and that was a big deal breaker. And family here coming so far really helped the transition. I'm glad I did.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned family when you talk about Concordia, because that's a big emphasis here. So, I mean,
your
brother's left. You had another brother come.
Yeah, I have a younger one now. I'm the older brother now.
But, I mean, have you seen that family aspect at work in Concordia?
Oh, yeah.
Your friends become your family.
Yeah, absolutely. Just the other day, I met someone who I hadn't met in all 4 years here at Concordia, but they go here as well. And we started talking, and networking. Oh, I know this person. You know that person. Hey, I could hook you with that person for job opportunities, stuff like that. And it really is special to be part of a Concordia family because there are people who went to Concordia and graduated from Concordia that are doing great things out in the world. And it's a really small world once you get out there and you discover, oh, you went to Concordia too? That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, wow, it's just, you know, because it seems like such a small thing in a big world. But then when you get out there, it's like, man.
No, there's people from, or people that live in Alaska right now that graduated from Concordia. It's crazy.
You thought you were the only ones.
I thought they we were the only ones. Took away your title. Yeah. No, there's a guy up in Eagle River, Alaska, not far from where I live. He's a power lifter. He went here to Concordia.
Power lifter?
Yeah. Isn't that pretty interesting?
You guys got them all.
There are Alaska alumni from alumnus, alumni, alumni.
Alumni.
Alumni. Alumni.
Plural.
How do you say it?
Alumni.
Alumni in Alaska.
So we've both been going here for 4 years. And I didn't join the journalism program right away, but Adam, did you?
Yes, I came in as journalism and public relations.
Yes, and I've always told everybody, I said, Adam Christensen is going to get me through college, because he always reminded me of what our homework assignment was. So what kind of drew you to journalism in the first place?
Photography drew me to journalism in the first place. I love photography. I'm an aspiring professional photographer. I'm not professional yet, aspiring, I would say. And I really love it, but what I love more about the photography is the stories behind the pictures. And so that's what got me into the writing, the stories that are behind the pictures. Mm. And then that got me into photojournalism. And I became a pretty good writer over these last 4 years. I don't like to toot my own horn, but
toot toot.
Yeah, it's been really good learning the writing aspect.
Yeah, we've done a lot of writing.
We've had
two writing classes, two editing classes. No. But I mean, in every class, writing has been like...
And we're editing in every class as well.
The feature.
Yeah. I'm sure some people have it harder than us. Like, there's other journalism schools that are a lot more hardcore than us, I'm sure. But we have one of the best professors, journalism professors, probably
yes,
in the world.
He's the real deal.
Mr. Tobin Beck. He has a career history that I cannot remember right now because it's too long.
You couldn't even dream of something like that. No. Like, he's covering 9/11. He's covering...
Met presidents. Yeah. He went to J school in Lincoln.
Yeah. I think what makes him so different and fun is all his real world experience.
I like his stories.
Yes, because then you can learn how to write and you can learn how to edit and take pictures and all this stuff, but there are some things you don't know until you get out there.
Yeah.
Right, and he is our little window until we get out there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great having him.
I think that's a really special perspective.
Mm-hmm. He's also part of the Concordia family. Mm-hmm. His dad was a music professor here and a composer. And Professor Beck, he grew up here in Seward. His brother went here and graduated from here with the bachelor's and a master's.
All roads lead back to Seward.
What have you been involved in over the last 4 years here at Concordia?
Over the last 4 years, what have I done?
Sports, school, extracurricular activities, all sorts of stuff.
School-wise... I've just been taking a lot of classes. I'm getting majors in journalism and Spanish, and then minors in communication.
Say something in Spanish.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Something that nobody knows.
No sé.
Say, I went to the lake yesterday.
Fui al lago ayer.
Whoa, she can speak Spanish.
I know. I sound like I don't, though, when I get this. Real Spanish speakers. Yeah, so
Have you been overseas?
Yes, I have been to Guatemala twice. I've been a lot of... I don't want to toot my own horn again, but...
Toot toot.
Yeah. I've been a lot of places, and...
Thanks to Concordia?
Yes, yeah. Especially thanks to Concordia, but Guatemala has just... I've only been there for 2 weeks. I went once for a week and then a second time for a week. And I have never felt so at home in a place that has not been my home. I mean, that was all Concordia. They sent a teaching trip down there, so we went down there for a week to teach English and... like local schools up in the mountains in Amatitlan, where we were.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I was just there for a week. How do you feel so at home in a week? I don't know. It was incredible, and I love it. I love that place more than anything.
Those are the kind of opportunities Concordia has to offer. Yeah. Global opportunities.
Yeah, I've gone to Guatemala and to China to teach English.
Wow.
Yeah.
During your time here at Concordia.
During my time at Concordia.
That's incredible.
All through Concordia programs.
What have you been involved in just around the school?
Well, I golfed for 3.5 years.
Nice. Yeah, how was that?
I loved it. I've never been the best golfer, but I have.
What was your best score?
I probably shouldn't say on radio. They'd be a little bit embarrassed of me. But I loved golfing. You know, not every day was my best day, but I always had a great time with my teammates. Always.
That's good. That's the most important thing.
I mean, my best friends. Some of my best friends have come from the golf team.
That's great.
Yeah. I always say, if everything else goes wrong, at least I still have the golf team.
There you go.
What else have I done? I was the editor or co-editor of the student newspaper, The Sower, for a year.
Mm, all right.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It was a lot of work. I have a lot of respect for people who do that kind of stuff every single day. I'm not super, super organized, so that was a little bit of my downfall there.
The people have to remind you to do stuff?
Yes.
What the assignment for class was?
Yes.
You're welcome.
That's you, Adam.
Yeah, kidding.
And then what else have I done?
You've gone to basketball games, because I saw you there last night. We talked to President Friedrich.
Yes, I'm an avid Bulldog sports fan. I try and make it to everything I can.
A lot of people in the community are. Yeah. Like, you see a lot of community members at the games, no matter what sport.
It's not just Concordia people, it's Seward people.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And what's really funny is that most of my roommates don't know anything about, like, football or basketball or baseball or whatever. So we go, and I'm sitting there cheering and yelling, and they're like, what is going on? And the other day, I turned to my friend. Someone had just dunked in a basketball game. And I said, do you know basketball? And they're like, no. I'm like, that was good. And that's kind of become our little joke. That's that was funny. Good. You know basketball? That's good. What have you been doing this past 4 years to fill up your time?
Oh, man. When I was a freshman, I decided I am not going to get involved over my head. I'm not going to do any extracurriculars until after this first semester is over, because the fall semester I started right off the bat with football. You know, football started before school even started.
Yeah.
Football started, what was it, a week and a half or 2 weeks before school even started. And so I was, I was over my head with college football. It was amazing, the transition from high school to college, how fast the game is, how different it was. Well, I came in as a linebacker, but I had a recurring knee injury and got beat out of the position, really, and just kind of found my spot, found my niche at long snapper, and got pretty good at it, so it became pretty valuable there. Yeah,
long snapping, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, no.
If I ever played football, I'd be a kicker for sure. I hate getting hit.
Long snapping was a pretty sweet gig. I really liked it, enjoyed it, and hopefully maybe I'll be able to do it in the future, whether playing or just coaching.
Church league football.
I don't know if that's a thing, but maybe we can make it a thing.
You can make it a thing, yeah.
Over the years, I've done various things. I've tried things like improv and theater. I did the gospel mime 1 year. Theater, improv weren't my things. I'm a little more introverted. So, as I speak on the radio.
Yeah.
I've been involved in classes, because everyone has to be involved in classes.
He's been involved in keeping me in class. You work for Jake, right?
Yes, that is a fun job. I work for Jake Knobel over at the Athletic Communications Office or Sports Information Office. I'm still not sure what to call it. I think it's Athletic Communications Office, but I'm a sports information photographer.
Yeah.
So I take pictures. Speaking of photography, I take pictures, basketball, track and field, tennis every now and again. I don't know, there's something else. Oh, wrestling. I can't take pictures of football because I played football. But no, it's been real fun. Get paid a little bit and also get great experience.
Yeah, I'm not kidding people. Adam is like one of the best photographers I've ever known. And a basketball game, sometimes he lets me use, is it the telephoto lens?
Yeah, it's a telephoto lens.
And I am not good at that. That is not my calling, but Adam sure has got it down. What's something people don't know about you that you're willing to share on air?
Something that people don't know about me. Oh, I dabble in guitar.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we're gonna have to have like a live music session.
Do you play an instrument?
No. Well, let me tell you a little story real quick.
Didn't you play?
Yes. So in fifth grade, we had to choose an instrument for band, because I went to a little Lutheran school. Music was really big, so we had to choose an instrument. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna play the trombone, because I was not about to play some little dainty instrument. It's like, I'm going to play the trombone. And I couldn't, like, I couldn't get it to make sound. So I was like, I can't do this anymore. I hate this. And it's heavy because I had to carry it everywhere. So I was like, what's the next logical thing to do? trumpet. So I tried the trumpet. Same thing. Couldn't get it to make sound. And by this point, it was like 2 weeks into band. So everybody was doing great. And I still had yet to become a musician. Become the musician I knew I could be. So my next logical solution, flute. And I was terrible at the flute. Couldn't get it to make make one single sound.
So if you're listening and you know an instrument that's not brass, that Madison might be good at,
let me know.
You can't call in because we're not live. But
I'm sure you can call in and leave a message. But yeah, so after flute, my band teacher said you really need to figure something out. They wouldn't let us do the drums.
Why not?
I don't know.
Kids love drums.
I know. I think that's why.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, so I ended up playing the clarinet, and I played that for 3 years.
Oh, so you did find
an instrument. I wasn't very good at that either. Yeah.
But it was better than the others. Okay.
If it's redeeming in any sense, I was in choir for 4 years.
Yeah.
I can tell people. I don't burp.
You don't burp.
I do not burp.
You can't or you don't?
I cannot. I'm sure I did when I was little, because like you have to burp to live, right?
Yeah. We need to get a ginger ale here in the studio.
I've tried everything. Yeah, we call it a studio like it's something really professional. But it's just a little back room in the library covered with soundproof stuff. It's pretty cool.
It's nice, though. It's got a lot of professional equipment that we're scared to touch.
Yeah.
Not allowed to, anyway.
It makes me feel pretty important and professional.
Yeah.
We had a little trouble setting things up this morning.
We figured it out.
Because this is our first time.
Yeah.
First go.
But we're hoping to bring these little Concordia tidbits to you weekly or biweekly. We'll see what happens.
So
when we have time.
Right now we're shooting for weekly. Our end goal is a weekly segment. We are busy college students, though.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start out with biweekly for a little bit because we're trying to get our feet wet.
Yeah. And this is your little introduction to who we are, Adam and Madison. And hopefully that will inform you for some future, what do you call them, segments, blocks we do.
Yeah.
Well, now that we're done talking about ourselves, we'd like to tell you a little bit more about some interesting things that are happening here at Concordia.
Coming up, we have an interview with Dr. Joseph Hurl, who's had some pretty interesting stuff going on. But first, we're going to take a listen to the President's Minute, a minute-long interview with President Dr. Brian Friedrich.
Well, thank you for doing this.
You are welcome.
We're hoping to make the President's Minute a regular part of our programming.
Okay.
The question for this week is, what are your top three advices for students to follow as they live out their experience here at Concordia?
Okay. Well, we're going to have three C's for Concordia.
Perfect.
The first is about community and encouraging students to build relationships. Relationships with other students, relationships with folks in the community, relationships with faculty and staff, and most especially the relationship with Jesus Christ, their Savior and Lord. The second piece of advice is challenge, inviting students to challenge themselves to grow by trying new things, perhaps going on a mission trip, thinking about studying internationally, doing something you've never done before, participating in a club, an organization, or if you're a musician, go to an athletic event. If you're an athlete, go to a music or theater performance. And finally, celebrating all the gifts, talents, and abilities God's given. Use and understand His grace and the abundant blessing He continues to provide.
All right.
So the three pieces of advice: community, challenge, celebrate.
Dr. Joseph Hurl served as a church musician for 20 years before coming to Concordia University to be professor in 2000. In 2011, he started working on this project that we're about to tell you about, so I'll let Adam take it away.
Thank you for tuning into the Bulldog Block with Adam and Madison. Madison had to step out, so it's just me in here today. But here we have Dr. Joseph Hurl, professor of music at Concordia. Thanks for being here. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me, Adam. I'm fine.
Good deal. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the book that you wrote and are currently editing. This is to be published this year, correct?
That's right.
It's a historical companion to the current edition of the Lutheran Service Book. Is that right?
That's it. It's called Lutheran Service Book Companion to the Hymns.
Okay, awesome. And just a little preview on your qualifications. Before you arrived at Concordia in 2000, as a professor, you did 2 decades of church work, church musician work. Is that correct?
That's right.
Where was that at?
I've been in several places. Most recently, before that, I was at St. John's in Champaign, Illinois.
Gotcha. And that's where you received your doctorate.
That's right.
And that was in hymnology, is that correct?
Musicology.
Musicology, gotcha. And before that, you...
It's a fancy word for music history.
Good deal. But you received your bachelor's degree out of Concordia. That was in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then your master's degree at North Texas University, and that was in musicology as well?
That was in organ.
Organ performance, okay. And then you've been abroad. You went to Germany for 2 years on a research grant and also in Britain a little bit.
That was on a Fulbright grant in the 1990s. That's right.
And that was for your PhD?
Right.
Okay. And but you've also had quite the influence on the Lutheran Service Book already. You have, how many is it, 3 original hymn tunes?
I do. That's right.
You did. And then you have 19 settings as well, if I'm reading this correctly.
Something like that.
You lost track. It's too many. And then 1 hymn translation and 1 liturgical setting. So you've had quite the impact already on the Lutheran Service Book. And this is going to be great too, learning the history behind each hymn. Is that correct? That's what the book's going to be about?
The book will tell the story behind each hymn in the hymnal.
Gotcha.
Every major hymnal has one of these. Ours is going to be a little bit different.
How's that?
Generally, editors of these books, companions, are under such time pressure that they have to get the book out quickly, that they end up copying from previous companions, whose authors have copied from previous companions, and most of the research in these books goes back to a handful of 19th century sources.
Mm-hmm.
In the Lutheran Service Book Companion, my co-editor, Peter Reske, and I decided that we weren't sure whether we could trust the information in the companions. And so we decided to go back to original sources. We have collected the earliest sources of every text, translation, tune, and harmonization in the hymnal.
Wow.
And doing that has shown us that quite a lot of the research wasn't quite right. And in fact, based on that, we have changed over 500 attributions that are given in the hymnal.
That's incredible. All this research, how long did it take?
I came onto the project in 2011, and the book is to be published late this year.
Okay.
So, let's see, how many years is
that? 8 years of...
That sounds about right.
Close to 8 years of research. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's incredible. Whereabouts did you do this research? Did you have to go abroad, around the internet?
Peter and I have both done some traveling. I went to several libraries in this country, also to the British Library twice. But fortunately, interlibrary loan is very good, and we obtained over 600 sources by interlibrary loan. And much of it has now been digitized and is available on the internet as well.
That's fortunate.
Either freely or through proprietary online repositories.
Yeah, the interlibrary loan is a great resource for professors as well as students.
I should add that we did not do all the work ourselves. We farmed the essays themselves out to more than 100 authors.
Okay.
So there's a lot of expertise contributing to the project.
Mm. The authors, the 100 authors that you farmed work essays out to, where are these authors from? Are they from the U.S. or are they from around the world?
They're from the United States.
Okay.
Nearly all of them.
Okay. Or what have you enjoyed most about this project?
Finding out information that hadn't been suspected. For example, with the hymn Away in a Manger. That has long been regarded as having its origin in a 19th century Lutheran source. For a long time, it was thought to be by Martin Luther himself. Hmm. It really isn't. It has been thought for a long time to have its origin in a 19th century American Lutheran source. In fact, the hymn really doesn't sound all that Lutheran, and it doesn't even have a whole lot of theology in it. Okay. That was curious, so we investigated further and actually discovered that the hymn had previously appeared in a magazine of the Universalist Church. You know, the Universalists who believe that everybody is going to heaven?
I do now.
Yes. And so that makes sense. And it's also that source that contained the pious note that Dr. Luther had composed that hymn for his own children. It is obviously not correct. Mm. But that seems to be the true origin of the hymn.
That's fascinating. Finding historical background you didn't know of previously. Away in a Manger. Well, I'll remember that the next time we sing that hymn. And hopefully read it in your book.
This hymn, the companion. Companions in the past have mainly been geared, directed towards scholars, pastors, and church musicians. But we are aiming this one as well for the interested layperson.
Mm.
It will contain in very readable prose the story behind each hymn. And then after that, it will contain in small print information that will be of interest principally to scholars.
Okay. That's great. In the last, just in the last year, I've been fascinated by hymns. And I just fell in love with the hymns we sing here at Concordia and back home in my own church. And I'm very excited to read more about the hymns that we sing every day in church. Now, what was the most challenging aspect of this?
Identifying the earliest sources.
Mm.
We had information from secondary research, but that wasn't always correct. And so sometimes we just had to go with hunches and say, well, we know it was here, and there was a relationship between this source and that source. I wonder if it could have been in this earlier source. And sometimes it panned out and turned out that it was.
How much translation was involved on your all's part?
Oh, well, they were in foreign languages, mm-hmm. whatever languages the hymns were written in.
Okay. And you and your partner did most of the translation yourself?
We didn't really translate the sources. We just read them in the original languages.
Okay. All right. What were most of the original languages for most of the hymns we have in our Lutheran service book?
A large percentage was in English.
Mm-hmm.
Next is German, as you might expect for Lutherans. Latin is next. There were a number in Scandinavian languages. Beyond that, there are a few languages that are less well known. Loma is an African language.
Okay.
There were a couple of hymns from Chinese. Amharic, language of Ethiopia.
Wow. So a number of languages that appear in our Lutheran service book undercover.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And what makes, you know, you said German, you'd expect a lot of Lutheran hymns to be originally German. But what makes a hymn Lutheran? Earlier you mentioned something about noticing that it's a Lutheran hymn. So what is it about the hymn that makes it most Lutheran?
Lutheran hymns talk a lot about sin and grace. They are generally fairly doctrinal in that they contain the whole counsel of God. And Away in a Manger, when we were looking at it, didn't really have that.
Mm.
So we thought, we wonder about that.
Are there any favorite hymns that you have? I mean, there's probably not one, but are there a handful of notable hymns?
I can't even answer that. Ask me one day and I'll give you one answer. Ask me another day and I'll give you another one.
What are you most looking forward to about this book and the information that people have access to? What impact do you think it'll have?
I hope that it will get lay people interested in the backgrounds of the hymns, and they will sing them with more understanding and more enthusiasm.
Mm. That's fantastic. Thank you very much, Dr. Professor Joseph Hurl, for joining us here on the Bulldog Block today.
Thank you, Adam. It's been my pleasure.
And don't forget to be on the lookout for Lutheran Service Book, A Companion to the Hymns, should be published in late 2019. Thanks for being with us here today on the Bulldog Block. Tune in next time to hear a little bit more about what's going on over here at Concordia.